I just want to say that I appreciate Pastor Josh for preaching it up last Sunday. It was an amazing word. I got to hear most of it. I got to hear most of it until at 30,000 feet it cut out. I was down in Mexico celebrating with some friends, and we had a blast. My son turned 16 years this last week, years old, and I'm just like, how many of you parents recognize that, man, life just goes super fast? And so it was just a blessing. We got to spend a quality time as a family. And so I just sincerely appreciate Pastor Josh for helping out. In fact, I wanted to, I'm going to do this myself. So let's see if we can get this. All right. I want to show you the picture of the fish my son caught. He caught a blue marlin. There he is. Hey, Isaiah, happy birthday. Everybody give him 16 spanks. That's a few hundred. And can everybody see this? This fish is over 200 pounds. We actually helped him. It took four of us over an hour to haul it in. Over 200 pounds. And so Jeff Humphreys from Humphreys Sign Company, I sent him a picture. And he's like, oh, dude, let me hook you up. I'll get you a picture. And I was like, that was super nice. And he goes, hey, I got another picture for you as well. Can you guys see that one? I felt really good until that second one came out. I said, you know, I caught more than that. Let's look at this picture up here. Isn't that amazing? That fish is so big it had little sucker fish hanging from it. Do you see that? That's not bait. That was actually, I felt bad for the thing. I was like, we'll knock these things off and send you back. But all kidding aside, I just want to thank just the team for loving on our family and allowing us to once in a while disconnect, because our jobs are really 24/7. Even while I was down in Mexico, various stories of tragedies and challenges in people's lives. So, you know, we're able to partially disconnect and enjoy life. And I love you guys, but how many know that you need time to recharge? And so it was just a blessing, so we appreciate that. I think it's important that we pause and we celebrate one another and we enjoy life together too. Amen? All right, let's get into the Bible. That's what you came here for, not stories of little fish or big fish. Amen. Psalms, by the way, I probably should say, I don't know how Jeff shrank that fish. That was pretty incredible, because that's what you saw. Psalms 51:10. All right, here we go. Create in me a... All right, now, two Sundays ago I preached here, and the left side of stays always seems quieter, so help me out today. All right, you guys? Or might have to put Josh over there. Create in me a, oh God, renew a loyal spirit within me. How many know that God wants us to have a clean heart? How many know that to have a clean heart is to have a healthy heart? If you don't have a clean heart, you have an unhealthy heart. If you have an unhealthy heart, it can lead to all sorts of problems in the natural sense, like heart attack. Heart attack occurs when the flow of blood to the heart is blocked. The blockage is most often a buildup of fat, cholesterol, and other substances which form a plaque in the arteries that feed the heart. The plaque eventually breaks away and forms a clot. The interrupted blood flow can damage or destroy part of the heart muscle. I'll just to quote myself, it sounds funny, but this is who said it, me. We need not only healthy physical hearts, but healthy what? I'd encourage you to take a picture of that, because I want you to focus on the fact that God wants us to have spiritual hearts that are healthy. Healthy. By the way, one of the things, this is totally unrelated to the sermon, but something that I think that's just very important for you guys to hear. You can help Life Church in a lot of ways that are spiritual, right? Like hearing this word, applying it in your life, I think the transformation can happen, and you become a living epistle, a living letter for people to read. And as your transformation occurs, people will go, what is going on? Something is happening. As they're reading your life, they see Jesus. How many know that spiritual change is significant? And I know it sounds funny when I interrupt myself to say that there are some natural things you can do as well. One of the things that we want to reach this city is we use social media. And I've noticed that in various places, a lot of people seem to be engaged, checking in at Life Church on Facebook and or liking the things and sharing. We're coming into a season where people are going to be more open to the gospel because of the Christmas season. And so I want to encourage you to not shy away from, shy away from all the commercialism, but leverage with us the opportunity to reach more people by simply just even sharing something on Facebook, like one of our posts. You would be absolutely amazed how many people I talk to that say, you know, I saw a post on Facebook, a friend of a friend. I came here, my husband came, and he gave his life to Jesus. So I don't want to downplay. I recognize that I look at Facebook as a tool, an opportunity. And so I just want to encourage you, before we go into the message, to help us in that sense. If you're here, check in. If you are on the news feed and you see Life Church, like it, share it, and let's watch God change lives right here by the simplest of ways. Amen? All right, so let's get back to the heart of the message. We need not only healthy physical hearts, but spiritual, healthy spiritual hearts. Amen? Proverbs 4:23 goes like this, keep, guard, watch. These guard and watch are different translations added in there for you to see what it's saying. Keep, guard, watch your what? Okay, we're going to talk a lot about the heart today. With all diligence, for out of it spring, flow, the issue of life. How many know that I missed a word or a letter in there? The issue or the issues? Issues, the issues of life. So let me ask you a question. How healthy is your spiritual heart? How healthy is your spiritual heart? Is your heart overflowing with the life of God? Are you in such communion with God and have such a healthy heart that every time you exercise your heart or that God helps you to exercise your heart, you are drawing God in and you're releasing God back into not only your system, but into a world that needs to see Jesus? Is your heart healthy? Does it have an uninterrupted free flow of God in and out of your life? And how would you know that? How would you know if you have a healthy heart? How would you measure that? In the natural, we know that doctors give us all sorts of things, devices. It's pretty spectacular how they're able or empowered to see whether your heart is healthy. I want to share with you, the Bible also gives us an opportunity to see where our hearts are at based on the scriptures. How many of you know that the Bible is a good measuring tool for your spiritual life? All right, let's look at Luke 6:45. A good person produces what? From the treasury, listen to that word, treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. It's what flows from your heart that reveals who you are. And when I point, I'm pointing with love. The Bible has a lot to say about the condition of our hearts. It has a lot to say about the condition of your heart. More specifically, it has a lot to say about money in correlation to the human heart and relationship to your spiritual walk. So I want to give you a health warning this morning. First service, I think they did pretty good. I hope that even in our second service, you do even better. Amen? Because there's always good little Holy Spirit competition. Amen? How many of you guys are glad you're in the second service? Amen. This is a health warning. your health, your spiritual health, your heart health has a lot to do with your money. Specifically, your stewardship of money or the lack of it. Not the lack of money, because how many know it's easy to lack money. But stewardship of it is a choice. Matthew 6:21 says this way, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Connecting money with heart and condition. The unhealthy natural heart feels a whole host of issues when a heart attack is coming on. Isn't it not? I mean, have you ever had family members or friends, they're like, they explain to you, like, man, I had a heart attack. I know I had family members. My mom had a big family, and some of them had heart issues. I pray against that family tradition. Amen. And you go, you would hear some of the things that were precipitating. And so how many of you think it's important that we recognize the condition that leads to a heart attack? You're going, how the heck does this have anything to do with me? I'm 15 years old and I'm healthy. I'm talking about your spiritual health. I'm talking about, is your spiritual heart in a healthy way? What are some of the things that lead in the natural to a heart attack? Because I'm going to talk about something that I'm going to find out if you're on the road to a heart attack spiritually. You ready? I'm going to talk about treasure. I'm going to talk about money. I'm going to talk about tithing. I'm going to talk about stewardship today. And I'm going to talk about offerings and generosity. Now, have you experienced any of the symptoms of a heart attack while I was talking about those things? Pain. Lightheadedness. Shortness of breath. Fatigue. Cold sweats. Nausea. Dizziness. Or heartburn. Did any of you, don't you have to raise your hand. Some of you didn't experience any of those things, but you were squirming in your seat. Really, you're squirming in your heart. See, the result of a blockage of the life of God through your spiritual heart begins to have the opportunity for having a spiritual heart attack. Meaning your heart stops. Your heart stops and you cease to flow with the life of God. The only solution is to make Jesus the king of your heart. Amen? He is the only solution. He's the only one who can solve this dilemma, is to make him the king of your heart. So who is your king? Amen? Who is your king? What does your treasure, money, and bank account speak loudly of? His kingship or plaque building up in your spiritual heart? See, the Bible talks about money more than any other subject. And this season is more about money than any other season. Are we adult enough in here to say that Christmas has been less about Jesus and more about the commercialized version of little boy in a manger? I mean, that's almost how the world thinks of it. I pray that as Christians, we keep Jesus in the season and that the moss is with Christ. Christ moss, more Christ, more anointing, more Jesus in this season. How many know that it's easy to get caught up in all of the commercialism with Christmas? So I want to ask you the question, is Jesus first? Is the bank account of your life a great indicator of your love and affinity for God? Or is Jesus far or distant from you as it reflects your giving and your heart for the Lord? How many know that God wants our hearts in the right place? Proverbs 23:19 says it this way, keep your heart on the right course. How many of you have ever noticed that life can go so fast that suddenly, if you're not paying attention, you can wreck? I watched this movie not too long ago. Actually, I liked it so much, I watched it twice. Ford versus Ferrari. What an amazing movie. Of the spectacular journey of Ford back to having something of a winning car. I find it interesting, though, as he's going around that racetrack, if he was to even slightly let go of that will, he would wreck. And I think in life we get so busy, going so fast, that if we're not careful to be diligent to guard our hearts, we will quickly move away from generosity into the rut of stinginess. Because how many know that it's a lot easier to do the latter? So how do you keep your heart on the right course? Well, if you had any of the symptoms that we were talking about, pain, lightheadedness, shortness of breath, fatigue, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness, heartburn, or maybe you have another version of what almost feels like a heart attack when talking about money in church, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Now you're starting to be quieter than the first service. So either you have him more or you have him less. I'm not sure which one yet. I'm not trying to bring a little levity to this because here is my heart. I firmly believe that God wants us to have healthy spiritual hearts, free from worldliness, and having the plaque of our heart be greater than the flow of God's life into this world. Amen? So Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve, Jesus is saying this, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, let me share this with you. You don't have to be rich and you don't have to be poor to fit into this verse. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. I've seen wealthy people enslaved to money. I have seen poor people enslaved to money. You cannot serve both God and money. Isn't it true? And so how do we overcome this? How do we have a healthy heart? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because I believe that God is wanting to encourage us that if we have any of those emotions, any of those challenges, any of those dilemmas, that God's saying, you know what? I love you. This message isn't to beat you up. This message isn't to encourage you. That God wants to build in you a greater level of trust for him. And by the way, he is a process God. He's not going to just suddenly go, why? Because you don't change immediately. God wants to encourage you, amen, into a lifestyle that is healthy in your heart, that freely gives what God has given you. Now, if you've been here for 20 plus years and you're still not giving, maybe there's so much plaque you've ceased to have a heart for God. That seems like a brutal thing to say, but the fact is, that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we share stories or we share scriptures, really, about having the right heart in our giving. And it's not about giving to the church alone. God has so much more for you to give. If you thought tithing was the end, you haven't even started. And that should freak some of you out that are not giving, but God can start you somewhere. I had someone after the service say, you know, it might be an awesome thing to share with people that maybe they don't know how to tithe. Maybe they're so freaked out. Like 10% would be like a budget buster, freak you out. Never, it would be a conversation stopper. But I think that God wants to start with your heart. And he can take anything that's seized, and he is the great physician. And he can start getting your heart to pump again for the glory of God. And by the way, do you see what I'm doing? I'm representing the heart by almost like the heart pumping. Here's what happens to people that stop being generous and obedient. Your hands are closed. You cannot receive and you cannot give. God has more for you. So maybe for you, you're like, I can't do 10%. Well, give $20. Watch what God does with it. Then your hand starts to open a little bit, and you go, "Oh, I'm feeling a flutter," because what God is doing is he's shocking you into understanding that life is actually better than death, and we only live when our heart begins to beat with the heart of generosity for God and for people. Why would we give bag invitations? Because we're trying to go like this. God, help us to once again give So three ways to keep our hearts healthy and to avoid spiritual heart attacks. Number one, three words I'm going to give you, and you're going to love them because everybody loves these words. God wants to do surgery in you. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, surgery. I saw some of you wanting to run. And if your heart is wanting to run, it's because something's seized in that heart. He wants to do surgery in you. How many of you think that God is the great physician and he is able to do great things? And for some of you that have been faithful in this area, I'm telling you, this will be an encouragement. So the rest of you, this is an encouragement of what God can do. Amen? Let God do surgery in your heart. Mark 2:17 says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And how many know that even in our Christian walk, God is still changing our minds and causing us to repent and say, God, I want to not just give you some of me, I want to give all of me. And if the Bible that I read and you read has the majority of it is on the subject of money in a lot of ways, how many think that it matters to God what we do with our money? Amen? And so it goes like this. I believe that God's not a barbarian. He's going to do a gentle surgery in you. He's going to apply anesthetic before doing surgery. How many of you are thanking God for this? Amen? And you're like, I want to. I feel by the Spirit of God to say this. Some of you are like, I want to, but my spouse is not there. Pray. Prayer softens the ground. Amen? Prayer softens the ground. And I believe that God is going to do significant work in your heart as you pray. Okay, God wants to do surgery in the heart that maybe needs some stents. Are you hearing me? How many know that sometimes there's such a blockage, God's like, I need to do. And by the way, when God does surgery, he doesn't leave stents in there. When God does surgery, he heals what is the problem in your heart. Amen? And God is wanting to do some surgery in some hearts today because it's not just your money that God is after. God is after you. You are his greatest reward. But sometimes when we make money our God versus God, he's saying, I've got to get into the way. I need to change the heart. Amen. So that I have everything of them. Man, if we just understood that sometimes, if we were to become more generous with the Lord and more generous with people, it would have a positive effect in other areas of our lives. Amen. So, number one, you have to have surgery. Number two, another word that you're going to really love, medicine. Here's a beautiful thing. When God does surgery, he does it perfectly. And when God gives you medicine, it doesn't have side effects. How many of you want that kind of medicine? Receive God's medicine. What medicine is there for a spiritually unhealthy heart? Do you guys know? Come on, tell me. The Word. The Word of God is our medicine. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. In the center of what? Heart. How many think God's after your? Amen. For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. It's like a manifold. One inlet, many outlets. If God can get your heart in the area of money, it will have a manifold effect in your life and the lives of others. All right, you guys ready for your third word? First one, surgery. Some of you need God to do surgery in your hearts. Amen? Some of you need medicine. That's the word of God to transform. The third word, are you guys all ready for this? Come on, I feel like I need some help this morning. Third word, exercise. Everybody's favorite word, exercise. Turn to your neighbor and say, exercise. Exercise your heart. It's a muscle that needs to be exercised. Why would we hand out the bag of invitations? We're trying to get the motor of generosity running so that it's not just, hey, fill the bag of invitation and give it to your child. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about going outside of your family and giving to people that have need. Amen? Exercise what, though? Exercise contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be. I don't know about you, if I'm being honest, I don't like the word content. Because it combats my desire for more. But we were born into this world with this selfish nature called mine. Come on, how many of you had children, have children or a spouse, don't mention them. A mom, a dad, a family, some mine. Can I just tell you something that's just probably maybe too transparent, but I'll tell you anyways. When we went fishing, we were standing in a row, Chris, Ed, Isaiah, myself, and they said, okay, what's the order? Now, how many of you have ever gone fishing before? You know that the order is supremely important because if you're the last person, you may never catch a fish. I looked down the row and I thought, I could easily say me. I'm at the end. First. And I said, last. Not because I wanted to be last, but because I knew that the Spirit of God says you need to be content in the blessings of others. I struggled with it. If I'm being totally honest, I was like, no. I could have at least stood in the middle before he asked that question. I mean, every one of us want to stand further or closer to the front of the line, right? Oh, come on. Look at me with some honesty. You know, you come into, you know, a meal and you're like, yeah, I want to be last. I want to be after the seconds. And some of you are far more virtuous than me. I'm competitive. You know, that's why I even had to show you that bigger picture than the one that was printed. I had to prove something. You know what? A healthy heart has not need to prove anything or to be the first. I recognize in my own heart how much I desperately need God to clean out the plaque of my life because Jesus, he's so much better to follow. And in his service, he said, it's better to give than to receive. I came not to be served, but to serve others. Some of you have been fighting for first. God is saying, why don't you celebrate the first for others? Some of your marriages would be healed on just how you prioritize your money. It's like, why is the money always there when I want something but never there when my spouse asks? It's getting quiet in here. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, notice I said that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. How many of you want the secret to great wealth? There's all sorts of books. How many of you noticed on Facebook, you can see, like, you know, a ton of different advertisements about how to empower yourself and gain wealth and all of that. And you see them in advertisements throughout the internet. I think it's interesting because this is what biblical wealth talks about. Yes, let's pull this up. Great wealth equals what? How many of you want great wealth? Because let me share with you that if your pursuit in life is money, you will be a miserable person. But if your pursuit is God, to give to him and to give to others, you can have great wealth because your character and contentment will equal great wealth. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I find it interesting in verse 11. Notice that it says, not that I was ever in need, for I have, what's that next word? Learned. How many know that this Christian walk is a learning process? You can learn contentment. You can learn to be content. I have found that the older I get, the easier it's been to be content. That doesn't mean that I'm free from the struggle, as I just shared with you. But you can start now wherever you are at. I don't care your age or stage, whether you are in high school or you are nowhere near it. I pray that God works in you contentment. Amen? Now notice what verse 13. How many of you know and can quote verse 13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The 10-finger prayer. I don't know if you ever heard that before. But I'm telling you, when I read it again this time, I thought, man, there was a paradigm shift. The context, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The context for that word, that phrase that we quote, that scripture we quote, that verse we quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Guess what? Sometimes it may be misspent on what God is actually trying to tell us. God is actually wanting us to understand that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in the process, in the learning process of knowing how to be content. Context matters. Yes, you can use that verse for a whole host of other things, but the context is in relationship to contentment. And if you struggle with being content and seeing what others have, and you're like, oh, but I don't, and I wish, and I want, God is saying, learn to be content with what you have. Because I don't believe God is wanting or willing to give you more until you're content with what you have. Amen. How many of you are like, you look at your life and you're like, I have plenty of things. I don't need no more plaque in my life. I told my wife, I said, man, honey, we got a bigger house. I mean, it was a miracle story. It was a foreclosure. It was so bad. I think some people in theory wanted it, but they didn't want the reality of it. It's a bigger house. We got it, and we have filled that thing with junk. How many of you are impressed at how much we can gather junk in our lives? And if we're not careful, we can continue to eat junk food. Come on now, help me out. Eat junk food, not eat the right things that have the right heart, and suddenly we start finding our arteries starting to be filled up with junk in our lives. And we don't know why we don't have enough to give to others who are in true need. I said, babe, we got to get rid of stuff. We got too much stuff. And for some of you, you've been living rather than a sentimental life, you have been living a sedimental life. And God is saying, start to release some of these things. Give them away. You know what's interesting in Acts? When they were in the beginning, the birthing of the church, the Bible says that no one had any need because people were willing to even sell houses and land to give to those who were in need. How many know that they had a healthy heart? How many know that our church needs a healthier heart? I'm not asking you to sell your house and to give it to the church. I'm saying is that all of us need to go to a journey of allowing God to give us healthier hearts through obedience and generosity. Amen? Amen. Author Rob Kuban said this, the Bible calls us to allow our convictions, not our circumstances, to govern our sense of contentment. True biblical contentment is a conviction that Christ's power, purpose, and provision is sufficient for every circumstance. We are to learn how to walk through all kinds of adversity, believing in and experiencing Christ's sufficiency. We have to choose to rest on God's promises despite what may be going on in our lives. man, I certainly hope the enemy of your soul is not winning through the preaching of this word. That God actually is moving and doing surgery and medicine is being applied to your heart this morning. And that you begin to exercise God's heart for your life. Amen? Hebrews says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God said, I will never fail you. Now, isn't this true? How many of us sometimes don't want to release something because ultimately it's a trust issue with the goodness of God? God is good. We sang it this morning. Now let's walk it out in obedience that He is good. Exercising contentment is key. And exercising a kingdom perspective is also key. Tithing, giving 10% of one's income and giving offerings and beyond, starts with God and ends with people. In other words, God's not called us to just be obedient in this house and generous in this house. He's called us to go beyond these. That's why I love that video, that guy dancing. He did it better. Right? Just a simple act blessing somebody else. But I want to call you, if you've been far from God in the area of giving to the Lord, to begin small and watch God grow it. We said once in our church, maybe a couple times, if you don't believe tithing works, start giving. I encourage you to start tithing. You can start small. 10% is 10%, but you can start small and move your way to tithing. But here's something I can tell you. If you give and we can track it, which I don't look over those things, we'll give you a 90-day promise. If it doesn't work, we'll give your money back. 90 days, because after that, it's kind of ridiculous. You're going, what? Is this a gimmick? No, we believe in it so much that God begins to make the heart move, and then you begin to see the life flow of God's blood through your life. It is powerful. It's life-changing, and you suddenly start to see that you were actually built for this. You were made for this. You were created to be the most generous, happy, cheerful people in the world. Jesus said in Matthew 23, you should tithe. While he said there's other things of greater importance, he said not to neglect tithing. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets what? And the world of the stingy gets what? Interesting. Isn't that like the veins or the arteries of the heart? When they close up, they cease. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is medicine you may not want, but how do we know it's medicine we need for healthy hearts? 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide where. Your money has everything to do with your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says, each of you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I love it when my children give me something with a cheerful heart. Like, I actually don't think there's been a time that my children have given me something reluctantly. Here. How many of you know that God really wants children that love him and are cheerful in giving to the Lord and to his people? Amen? Amen. It says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give and not reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves, here, this is so vital as we wrap this up. For God loves a person who gives what? Turn your ear and say, cheerfully. And turn back to him and say, mean it. Say it again. Cheerfully. Because you may be staring in the eyes of the person who's been waiting for your generosity. Oh, but when they do it, then I will. That never gets anybody anywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we're wanting to do it some other way. There's only God's way. So for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Some of you need a lot of medicine because you need more cheer. And in your cheer, you will be a greater giver. Let me tell you, I have watched people that are poor and I've watched people that are wealthy. The generous of any person, the generosity of any person is unbelievable when it's released for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. What's our heart today? Our heart is a healthy one that desires for your heart to be healthy and right with God and with others. I'll end with this. I got shouted down a little bit in the first service. Don't hurt me, this one. I said, you know, it is kind of funny that it would be from the Texas Heart Institute talking about heart attacks, because I've been in Texas and I have never seen food like that come out on a plate in my entire life. I was like, this is as serious as a heart attack. Heart attack survivors have to take a long, hard look at their lifestyles and make decisions that will affect their future health. How many of you are thinking long and hard about making Jesus the king of your heart?